It's the River of Anointing. Praise God. That's what it's all about at Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. It's all about the River of Anointing. God's presence in our lives, that anointing that comes all over us and that makes us into a new creation. Behold, all things are passed away. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things have become new. And that's what happens when God gets a hold of you. Hallelujah. Oh, we are so glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister live in the studio today, as always. And we are Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are in Clearwater, Florida and around the globe. And we are excited to be with you today. And I have a couple guests that will be calling in later on. And so to begin with, we just want to thank you for joining us. And we want to just bless you today and speak God's blessing into your life on this very hot day in Clearwater, Florida. I don't know what it is, but it's got to be close to 100. Ah, okay. It's up there today. This is one of the hot ones. So anyway, some of you may be in a cooler temperature, and if so, enjoy that today. So the good thing we have here is the water and the wind that comes off the water. The wind in the Word of God is always symbolic of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And that wind of God's Spirit comes and blows on us His presence and His truth. And we are excited to talk about that today. God's Holy Spirit working in our lives. And what does that mean? For some of you who may not be familiar with that term, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God teaches us that God Almighty is really a triune God, which means He has different aspects of Himself. Father, God the Father, God the Son, whose name is Jesus, and a lot of you are familiar with the name Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is that part of God that came to this earth to reside among us and in us. And we are going to talk about the Holy Spirit today and what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because Jesus, when He walked this earth, had a lot to say about the Father, and He had a lot to say about the Holy Spirit. In fact, it says in Hebrews chapter 1 that God the Father sent His Son, Jesus, to this earth to actually teach us some things. And it says in Hebrews 1 that He came to teach us all about the Father, what the Father was like. And the aspects, the nature, the personality of God the Father. And this God that we serve and we talk about, what is He all about, you know? And it says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, going through a long time of prophets, because that's the Old Testament is all about the prophets that came before Jesus came. Going through a long line of prophets, this is Hebrews 1, 1, God has been addressing our ancestors in different ways for centuries. Recently, He spoke to us directly through His Son. And by His Son, and by the way, do you all know that the Son is Jesus Christ, who came to this earth about 2,000 years ago? And it says, by His Son, God created the world in the beginning, and it will all belong to the Son at the end. This Son, this is Jesus, perfectly mirrors God. And in the New American Standard Translation that I'm familiar with and have taught in that for years, this is the Message I'm reading from right now. The New American Standard says that the Son is the exact representation of the Father. And in the Message Bible Translation, which we use a lot to teach, it says that the Son perfectly mirrors God. In other words, look at Jesus and you see the Father. In other words, like Father, like Son, or like Son, like Father. In other words, you are looking at the nature of God when you study the life of Jesus. And so Hebrews 1, 1 and 2 and 3 says this, this Son, Jesus, perfectly mirrors God, okay, and is stamped with God's nature. He holds everything together by what he says. Powerful words. Now, those words are the Word of God, the Bible that we teach from, that is the foundation for what we believe and is the foundation for what we speak. In fact, our slogan at Beacon of Hope Ministries is where the Word of God, that's the Bible, brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. You see, it's all about the Word of God. It's all about the Bible and what words in particular Jesus said when he walked this earth. Jesus had a lot to say. He had a lot to say. He commented on our attitudes. He commented on the way we should get along. He commented on the fact that love is the answer in our lives. He commented on so many aspects of our lives and how to behave and our temperaments, what it should be like. Jesus really spoke about the nitty-gritty of our lives. He addressed the issues. And he was only here for 33 years, and actually he was only in ministry for 3 years. And you all know that he went to the cross willingly, died on a cross for us, and did that some 2,000 years ago so that we might be free from sin and death and all that corruption brings in our lives. Jesus died on the cross for our sins and our sicknesses. So we rejoice today in all of this. It's exciting to know what God has done, that God has a plan. He's had a plan from the beginning of time. All the way through the Old Testament, the prophets were talking about the coming of the Messiah. They said, he's coming, one of these days he's coming. And then we know that at the exact appointed time that God chose, that fulfilled all the prophecies, God did send his Son Jesus to this earth. So we praise God today for that. We thank God for what he's doing in our lives. Let's begin with prayer, and then we're going to have a great song in just a moment. So we're glad you've tuned in to Living the Good Life today. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your precious word. We thank you that your word gets down deep within us, that your word changes us. We thank you, Lord, that your word is from everlasting to everlasting. It never changes. Your word says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, we can take that to the bank. We can have confidence and assurance in who you are, mighty God, and in what you've done and what you're going to do in our lives. And so God, this day, as we start this broadcast today, this last Sunday of June in 2010, we thank you and praise you for the ability, the freedom of speech, the desire to be on the air and teach your word to those that listen in. Lord, let this be a great time together in your word and sharing, and let us learn what you would have for us to learn this day. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Today, we are going to talk about friendship. How about that? Listen to this first song. It's an old one. It's a new rendition by Justin Ryan and Porter Wagner. Porter Wagner is a country star, and Justin Ryan is a wonderful young artist that we had at our church in concert last year. He's a friend of mine. What a friend we have in Jesus.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
If we have trials and temptations, and if there's trouble anywhere, we should never be discouraged, because all we have to do is take it to the Lord in prayer.
Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to
All right. Praise God. I love that rendition. And Porter Wagner and Justin Ryan, we're glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life. Get your Bibles, and we're going to talk about friendship. And it's an exciting thing to talk about, because we all have friends, right? And we are friends to other people. Pastor Deb's going to be with me in just a moment. She's already on the line. But before she joins us, let's look at John chapter 14, if you have your Bibles, because Jesus had something to say about friendship. And we're going to look at, let's start with John chapter 14. We will start with about verse 6 for a moment, and we're going to skip down, and I'll tell you where we're going in a minute. John 14, verse 6. Jesus said, "I am the road, I am the truth, and I am the life." Now, in New American Standard, it says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Okay? Those are three distinct aspects of who Jesus said he is. He says he's the way. Well, we know he's the road. He's the way to salvation, right? We talked about that a moment ago. You want to get to heaven someday? You want to enjoy all the benefits of living for eternity with God Almighty? You go through Jesus. He's the way. He's the road. Okay. Then he says he's the truth, and he begins to teach you. This is another aspect. This is a growing time in God where you begin to realize that it's not just about your salvation and going to heaven, but it's also about growing up in God right here, right where you are. And Jesus begins to show you that he is the truth, that his word is true. And then as we progress in our Christian walk, we find out that he is also the life. And the ultimate life of God is going to be found when someday you are no longer on this earth and you are instead in the arms of Jesus for all eternity. And then you will really know life. And a lot of times we think we know life now in its earthly form, but it's nothing compared to what we're going to know when one of these days we join the Lord God Almighty in heaven forever and ever. So Jesus said, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life." And then he goes on to say in John 14:6, "No one gets to the Father apart from me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well." We talked about that in the opening, that Jesus came to this earth to show us the Father. That's why the life of Jesus is so important, that you begin to understand it, that you begin to study it. The life of Jesus is found in the Gospels. And some of you may say, "I don't even know what the Gospels are." That's okay that you don't know. Here's what they are. There's four of them: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Do those names sound familiar? Those are the first four books of the New Testament: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They are all different, yet they all have some of the very same accounts of Jesus' life. Even though they are told from four different perspectives and four different personalities writing these stories, the same events are found at different places in all four Gospels, because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were around for all these events. So these are eyewitness accounts of what Jesus said and did when he walked this earth. Now, let's go down a little bit. Let's go down to verse 11 of John chapter 14. And Jesus is talking to his disciples, and Philip is saying, "Master, show us the Father, then we'll be content." And basically Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because I and the Father are one." Okay? So now we go to John chapter 14, verse 11, just down a few verses. "Believe me," this is Jesus talking, "I am in my Father, and my Father is in me. If you can't believe that, believe what you see. The works." Now, what did Jesus do? He walked around this earth doing great things, did he not? And he walked around in the company of many disciples. There was an inner circle of three: Peter, James, and John. And then there were the 12 disciples. Peter, James, and John were a part of that second circle. They were part of those 12 disciples. Then there was an outer ring of disciples, and there were 70 in that ring, and in that group were these 12 disciples. These were the ones that followed Jesus around. These were the ones who really truly became friends to him. These were the ones he lived with on a daily basis for 3 years, especially the 12. These are the ones who knew him so well. These were his friends. We're going to talk about friendship today. Let's go on. Jesus says in verse 11 of John 14, "The person who trusts me." If you're driving your car or just sitting right where you are, say the word trust. Trust. You know, we have banks that try to give out commercials that make you trust them, right? We have the word trust, you know, it's been around for a long time, and it's so important aspect of a relationship is trust. Often when I do wedding ceremonies, I include this whole concept of trust and communication. Trust is vital to a successful marriage, partnership, relationship, friendship. Trust is vital in our lives. And you know, a lot of times trust is broken down when people lie, when they hurt each other, when they cheat on each other, or do whatever other thing that they might do. Trust can be broken. In our earthly relationships, it's not real hard for trust to be broken. It can happen pretty easily. But with our relationship with God, one thing we want to stress today is that Jesus said, "You need to trust me." Now, a lot of us have grown up not even understanding that we need to trust God. You know, we've heard that concept, but we don't really understand how that translates in our daily life. And we will be talking about that today, because trust is the basis of friendship. I propose to you today that it's hard to have a very close friend if trust is broken down. Now, that doesn't mean trust can't be reestablished. I want to make that point. It can be. And you know what it takes to reestablish trust? A lot of times is very, very good communication. It is honesty. Honesty and trust go hand in hand. Communication, honesty, and trust all go together. Now, Jesus says here, "The person who trusts me will not only do what I'm doing, but even greater things, because I am on my way to the Father, and I am giving you the same work to do that I've been doing." Now, wait a minute. Jesus walked this earth doing what? Building relationships, friendships. Jesus walked this earth healing the sick, caring about the needs of those around him. Jesus walked this earth praying for people. Did you know that? Jesus walked this earth, and here's the big kingpin of all these things: loving humanity. Jesus walked this earth loving. Jesus did not walk this earth being full of vengeance and anger and hatred and pride. Those things Jesus would have no part of. Jesus walked this earth being honest, sincere, loving, trustworthy, and a friend to all those around him. Here's what it says in John 14, about verse 12. He says he's on his way to do to the Father, and he says, I'm giving you the same work to do that I've been doing. You can count on it. From now on, whatever you request along the lines of who I am and what I'm doing. In other words, when we pray based on the absolute nature of God, then we know that we can have the answers to our prayer. This concept, and I won't teach on this right now. We got to go on past this to get to the friendship concept. But it's all about understanding who Jesus is. Notice I did not say who he was. I'm saying who he is, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ died on the cross, but he rose again, a risen Lord. So he is alive forevermore. He is not somebody who was. He is somebody who is. Okay, I hope you all get that. Somebody who is. Because in this verse, Jesus says, it's all based on who I am and what I'm doing. What was he doing? He was creating relationships. He was creating trust. He was creating friendships. He said, when you base your prayer requests on who I am and what I'm doing. Now, who he is and what he's doing. Who is he? The God's word says he's our Savior, the Savior of our souls. Okay? If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, that's where you start. That's point A. You say, Jesus, come into my heart. Do you see him fly into your heart? No. You do it by faith. You believe what the Bible says and you ask him to enter. You give him permission to become a part of your life. That's how it starts. You claim him and accept him as your Savior. Okay, step one. Then you begin to understand that he's more than just your Savior. There's so much more that he is. He's the healer of your body. That's what God's word says. He's your deliverer. He sets you free from things that have bound you up for a long time. Jesus is more than just your Savior. He is so much more. He is the one who gives you peace when you can't sleep. He is the one that answers your prayers. He is the one that strengthens you when you feel like you're so weak you can't go on. He is the one that gives you hope when you feel hopeless. He's the one that is your friend. That's what we're going to talk about today, and that's what we are talking about today. He's your friend when you feel lonely, alone, when you feel that nobody understands you, when you wonder where all your friends went. Guess what? He's your friend. He is your friend. And so let's go down to verse 15 and then get Pastor Deb in here. If you love me, Jesus said, show it by doing what I've told you. That's critical. Jesus was our example. What was he? He was a friend to everybody around him. He was one who cared about the needs of others. He was one who prayed for those who were hurting, who were sick, who were lame. He said, if you love me, show it by doing what I've told you. You see, we have an assignment here. I was a high school teacher a long time ago, and I remember giving assignments to my students, biology, chemistry, Spanish, saying, okay, I want this report done. I want you to bring in or, you know, do whatever, science fair projects, all kinds of things. They had assignments. They had a job to do. Jesus said, I've got something for you to do. You've got to understand that you have got to accept Jesus, not just as your Savior, but also as your friend, as your friend. So he says here, I'm going to talk to the Father and he'll provide you another friend so that you will always have someone with you. This friend is the Spirit of Truth. Now, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity. Jesus went back to heaven and he's there, but now the third part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is here. And who is he? He is the friend, just like Jesus was a friend to those that he encountered on his earthly journey here. Now Jesus goes to heaven. He says, I'm going to send you somebody that's going to be with you. Oh, by the way, Here's the best description of him. He's your friend, and he will always be there with you. You're always going to have someone with you. And let's go on and finish that right there, and then we'll get Pastor Deb. This friend is the spirit of truth. The godless world can't take him in because it doesn't have eyes to see him, doesn't know what to look for. But you know him because he's been staying with you, and he will be in you. And he says, therefore, I've not left you as an orphan. You're going to see me because I'm alive. You're about to come alive. And then you're going to know that I'm in you. In other words, God so lovingly has provided us a friend forever who not just we know about. Oh, yeah, I've heard about that Jesus. Yeah. And God the Father. Who? What is that all about? I don't know. I used to have a Bible. Maybe I got a Bible when I was christened as a kid. There's so many people who don't even have a relationship with their very best friend. Your very best friend is Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit. It is God Almighty. It is God's presence in your life. He wants to be your best friend. Ah, now I'm going to take a breath and include one of my very best friends, Pastor Deb from Houston, Texas. Are you there, girl?
Howdy, howdy from Texas.
Got a little bit of an echo there, Bill. You got it? Okay. Hey, how is Texas anyway?
It is hot.
Tell me about it. Oh, my gosh. We're experiencing it, too. What is it there today?
The heat index is 103 today.
Oh. Okay. Well, maybe you got us beat by just a couple degrees, but it's pretty darn hot here, too.
Well, I'll tell you, it was hot standing out all day yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, we had the same thing at Pride Festival. It was very, very hot. But we enjoyed it. Met a lot of people, talked to a lot of people, and I'm sure you did, too.
We did a lot of ministry work yesterday. It was awesome.
Isn't that great? Praise God.
Yeah, praise God.
And you've been hearing, I take it. Bill said you had Skyped in early here, so you've been listening to what I've been talking about here about being a friend, right?
I have.
Yeah. And, you know, I've been thinking a lot about this for the last few days, Deb. On Wednesday night, we had a tremendous Bible study at Beacon of Hope, which we do. And you know how it is, interactive and discussion and all that. Mm-hmm. And people were sharing some of the changes that God has made in their lives. And it was incredible as everybody in the room shared. I mean, we made time and everybody, you know, shared a little something. What God has done in their lives over maybe the last few months. And you know what that did, that experience, Deb? It brought us closer together. You know, it forged the friendships deeper. When people were open and honest and transparent about what God was doing in their lives. You know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about. And sharing that way amongst your friends always deepens a friendship.
It does, doesn't it? And it's the transparency. You and Alice and I have sat for hours at a time, haven't we? Sometimes on the beach. And just poured out our deepest feelings and thoughts, have we not?
We have. And, you know, learning the Word of God and getting into the Word of God and knowing how God loves us and how, yes, he's always there for us has taught me in my own life to try to put things aside and be there for other people. I'm not always the best at it, but it's really deepened my strength with my friendships here.
You know, that's an excellent point. And you know, we don't plan these shows, you know. I just have a general theme, and it's friendship. and you know that, and you know you're not prompted as to what to say or how to respond or anything. We let the Holy Spirit lead us in these shows. And, you know, it's been on my heart, Deb, for the last few days, the importance of growing our friendships, you know, not just taking people for granted. Don't you think that this is something that a lot of us do? I mean, we don't work on them at all, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, and the funny thing about that is the difference between, you know, a friendship that I have here on earth.
Right.
That's somebody that I can see, I can touch, I can feel, I can talk to them, they can talk back to me.
Right.
But you know, when you're talking about your relationship with God, your friendship with Jesus,
right,
you know, it's not something that you can necessarily feel, touch, taste, or see.
Isn't that interesting?
And,
yeah.
And so we do take our friends here on earth for granted, but at the same time, if we would work as hard on our relationship with God,
whoa,
as we do with our relationships with our friends,
right?
You know, just think how much easier things would be. And I mean, I'm not perfect at that relationship with God either, because I take that relationship for granted. And I think one of the reasons that I do that sometimes is because I know that I have that unconditional love.
Yes.
I know that no matter what, God's always going to be there for me.
Right.
So, you know, I tend to take that more for granted, and I don't worry about ticking God off, because I know that I'm going to screw up and God's going to love me anyway.
Right.
But, you know, you tick off your friend and you're like, wow, man, you know, I need to apologize. I need to do this. I need to do that. And we need to take that same focus that we have for our best friend here on earth and put some of that into God.
Exactly. Exactly. And let's talk about that for a minute, Deb, because I think a lot of people don't even realize that they should work on their relationship with God, that they should grow it. You know, and I think when we're kids, let's just talk about friendships, you know, human friendships for a minute. When we're kids, you know, it's all about playing together. You know, it's all about you know, maybe I grew up playing softball, baseball, not softball, actually baseball in Central America as a missionary's kid. And we were close. There was friendships, you know, there. And I mean, we played baseball every day together because I was in a missionary's kids boarding school. And that's what we did, you know, two or three times a day. We played baseball. We had these friendships that were forged. You know, we worked on that just by nature of being thrown together all the time. But I think a lot of times as we grow up, we take friends for granted. Maybe they've been friends for going out and goofing around and partying and that kind of friendships. And those don't seem to go very far, do they?
No. You know, I've had friends like that.
Right.
But, you know, I'm very blessed to have a friendship with someone that, you know, we've known each other for, I think, about 15 years now.
There you go. Yeah.
And it's one of those friendships that there was probably about an 18-month span that we kind of lost touch with each other, even though we lived right around the corner from each other, because just different things were going on in our lives.
Right.
But we knew that we'd be there for each other. And we knew that if, you know, I needed something, I could pick up the phone and she'd be there.
Right.
You know, but I've had those, you know, let's go hang out at your house, you know.
Right. Sure.
Drinking buddies, partying buddies, whatever you want to call them.
Yep. Okay.
I've had those friendships, and they're just surface level.
Right.
You know, there's nothing deep about them. And this, my best friend, there's nothing that I can't talk to her about. And there's nothing that she doesn't know about me, and vice versa. And, you know, we can call each other on our stuff.
Right.
And I really, that friendship has actually gotten deeper as my walk with God has gotten deeper, and I've been able to share my walk and bring her back into the church.
Good point. Good point. And so that relationship has developed into a really true friendship, not just an acquaintance. That's what I hear you saying.
Right, right.
How would you define an acquaintance, Deb? I mean, don't we all have a lot of them? I mean, give us a definition of acquaintance.
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of us in our jobs, the people that we work with, we may call them our friends, but, you know, we go to work every day, we see them every day. We may talk, you know, what'd you do this weekend kind of thing, or,
right,
you know, my kid's getting married, or I'm about to have a grandkid or whatever. We may talk about that, but that's, to me, that's more of an acquaintance.
Right.
You know, or people that you went to high school with that you may have done things in high school, you know, with, but you grow up and you move on. You may connect up later and share some stuff, but, you know, you refer to those people as your friends, and they are your friends, but to me, that's an acquaintance. An acquaintance is somebody that you, as you used the word earlier, trust.
Right.
You know, you don't have a level of trust with an acquaintance.
Right.
You don't feel like you can
right.
share with an acquaintance what you can with a friend.
Exactly. Big difference. big difference, because don't you think that a lot of people are very guarded in their quote unquote friendships, that they only let people in so far? You know, I think that's more of the acquaintance level, where people may know or think they know us very well, but they may not know what we really feel about certain things. I mean, the guard is up. You know, kind of like you're saying, the guard's up. You know, we don't want, maybe we want them to get a certain impression of us, and maybe that's not really who we are, but we want them to get that kind of impression. You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about, and I was just sitting here thinking, you know, the internet and these social networking sites.
Exactly.
Those, you're going to have your best friends on those sites, but those sites afford you a level of guardedness.
Yes. You know, protection.
You can be who you want to be, and you can say, you know, what you want to say, because, you know, those people don't know you, and you only allow them in so far.
Exactly. And in fact, it could be all lies, you know.
True.
And I think I've heard stories of that. The people have these internet personas, and they're not really, that's who they are at all, you know, but.
Exactly.
And the internet is pretty, and in some ways, you know, you have Facebook and things that people can reconnect with old friends, quote unquote, or old acquaintances. But what is on my heart right now, Deb, is why do we need friends? What is the importance of this in our lives? Why would we do a show on friendship? I mean, and again, we're going to really take this to the level of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, being our best friend. And I said this morning in my sermon at Beacon, he's our super friend, you know? Not Superman or Mighty Mouse or anything like that, but he is the super friend, you know? He's given us the example of what a friendship can be. Why do you think people need more than surface relationships? And surface relationships have their place, right? Let's answer that first. Do they have their place in our lives?
They do have their place.
Okay. Why?
Well, if for nothing more than the communication factor.
Okay.
I mean, you take like my daughter, my youngest daughter is, you know, she's a stay-at-home mom.
Right.
And, you know, my grandson is sick, is five, and my granddaughter's three. And, you know, I mean, my son-in-law goes to work every day. He comes home. But she's stuck at home with those kids because that's how they chose to do it.
Right.
So she doesn't have any adult interaction.
Right.
So surface friends for her give her that adult interaction that she needs.
Good point.
You know, my point behind that is that, you know, we have these acquaintances at work. We have these people that we work with. They're people that we can communicate with and not have ourselves in a vacuum.
Right. Exactly. It's not good for people to be totally alone. I don't believe.
No. And unfortunately, again, the internet has afforded people who would prefer to be hermits.
Right.
They can be hermits, but through the internet, they can have these acquaintances.
Right.
You know, and have this just bare surface level conversation that at least takes them out of that vacuum a little bit. But,
exactly.
You know, you talk about best friends, you know, those are people that I think there's a scripture in, what is it, Romans, I think, that talks about you know, you have your friends that you'd be willing to, you know, doesn't say this, but this is to me what it means. You know, you have your best friends and you say, well, I'd step in front of a bus for them.
Right.
You know, I'd take a bullet for them.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And what it says in Romans, it talks about how, you know, Jesus was the one that, you know, came here.
Amen.
To give us God's word. I mean, you know, before Jesus, you know, they knew God existed and, you know, they were getting all this stuff. But, you know, at some point God said, okay, you know what? I'm going to send my son down so you can see I'm real.
Amen.
You know, so Jesus came and Jesus gave us all this word, but Jesus took that bullet for us.
Right.
Jesus stepped in front of that bus.
That's good. That's good. Okay?
You know, and that's what your best friend is.
Right.
You know? They're going to be there for you. What is there a saying that best friends, what is it? If you go out and get drunk with a friend, a best friend's going to go to jail with you, you know?
Okay.
But I mean, that's what they're there for.
Right. Okay.
And that's
we're not advocating that, by the way, audience. No, she's just giving an example.
They're there for you.
Yeah, they're there for you. Exactly. Did we lose you?
No, I'm still here. Okay. I was laughing because the guy in the control room just sent me a note on Skype. This is we need to use that as a promo. Jesus took a bullet for us.
That's great. Yes, Bill is crazy. He really is. You have no idea. Anyway, no, that's great, Deb. And I agree with that. And before we go to this next song, I think what we need to direct our attention, we'll talk more about our human friendships here in a little while. But I really think that the purpose of the show is God has already made provision so that we would not be lonely, so that we would not feel that we are out there in this big dark world all by ourselves, that we would have somebody to talk to. And it's not just the internet. It is more than that. God sent his son to this earth and he said, here's what I want to do with you. I want to communicate with you, you and me, you know, and, you know, it still is mind boggling. Well, of course, I don't understand how faxes work either, or the internet. You know what I'm saying? I think that's mind boggling to me. How the internet works is crazy. But anyway, how God can be your best friend, Deb, in Houston, Texas, and my best friend. That blows my mind. How he can talk to you at the same time he talks to everybody else around the world, that's really cool, don't you think? It's that level of supernatural ability to be the friend to me that I need and be the friend to you that you need, at which is a great segue into this song. And then stay with me after this song. His Eye Is on the Sparrow by Selah. I love this old song.
Discouraged. Why do the shadows come? And why does my heart feel lonely in love for heaven and home?
so watches you.
Amen.
And he so knows you. Amen. I love that old song, Deb. We play it once in a while, and I love Selah's version of it. Because God says to us through Jesus in Matthew 7 that you think that I don't pay attention to you? I know where all the birds are. I know all the hairs on your head, how many are up there. He even knows about the ones that are sticking straight up here on the top of my head. He knows all there is to know about us. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. And, you know, I'm thinking about that as that song was playing, Deb. You know, when you have a really good friend, that friend pretty much knows where you are most of the time. I mean, if you were leaving the country to go on vacation, wouldn't you let your friend know, hey, I'm not going to be around, so, you know, don't text me or whatever for a few days and be gone. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about. If I didn't tell my best friend where I was going, she'd hunt me down.
Exactly. Yeah, I know. I mean, that's what I mean. If, you know... I mean, you kind of want to be in communication. I know right before I went to Indiana a couple weeks ago, I let you and Alice know that I'd be gone and where I was going to be and, you know, praying for me and the family and all that. I mean, I think that as we have these relationships with each other, friendships, you know, we just naturally, it's a human thing to do, to kind of keep people involved with our lives, you know, like I'm here, I'm there. And yeah, we talked about it a minute ago. Facebook does that for some people. I'm not on Facebook, but I know you are. And my little grandson who's staying with me right now, Levi, he's on Facebook. So he communicates with people, but he says, oh, Nana, you got to be on Facebook. No, that's okay. I don't have enough hours in the day as it is. I really don't have time to communicate with a bunch of people on Facebook. But the truth of the matter is that when you have a good friend, you do want to communicate, right?
Yes.
Okay. And one of the major aspects of the nature of the Holy Spirit is that he wants to talk to us. You know, I don't know, Deb, would you have a very good friend very long if you never took their calls, never returned any text, you know, never cared what was going on in their life, never showed an interest in them? Would you have a good friend very long?
No.
And
God has made very aware to me, especially in this last week, that there's a friendship that I have let lapse that I need to do some repair work on.
Okay. So that's cool how God does that, right?
Yeah. And, you know, you said before the song, you were talking about how, you know, God knows what's going on with us.
Yes.
And you know, if I ever stop being amazed at how God works in so many different people's lives that may not communicate with each other during the week.
Right.
But that all wind up on the same page at the end of the week.
Yes. Amazing.
I had something happen to me earlier on this week. I sent out an email to a bunch of people and I got a response back from a couple of people on the email that was not very nice. And they didn't like the email that I sent out. And so I called my pastor here in Houston and I talked to him about it. And this happened on Friday.
Okay.
And he didn't tell me what his message was going to be about on Sunday, but he told me that, you know, this really, you know, fit in with his message that God had given him.
Okay.
And, we have a gentleman in our church who is, he's kind of like our worship leader, I guess. He gets up and does the announcement and reads the scripture. And very seldom do he and Pastor Gary talk.
Okay.
To church about, you know, well, I'm going to preach on this, so you need to do this scripture.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Tom just does what God gives him.
Right.
This morning, the scripture that he read and the little snippet that he talked about, it's almost like he and Gary had sat down and talked about it beforehand.
Isn't that cool?
It was all about what I went through this week.
Okay.
About people being offended.
Right.
And, you know, apologizing to people and asking for forgiveness and things like that. Pastor Gary got up to preach, he looked at Tom and he says, I'm going to shoot you down on that one. He said, because you just preached my sermon. And my point behind that is that for me, and I know the world does not revolve around me, but for me this week, God gave that message to Pastor Gary earlier on in the week because God knew that I was going to do what I did on Friday.
Okay.
And that I was going to upset some people.
Okay.
and that not only me, but the people that I upset may need to hear this message. You know, and that amazes me.
And that is huge. Do you know, this is so interesting you're saying this, because as God is my witness, you and I have not discussed this at all, right?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
And the only way you knew what the topic was for today is I sent you an email yesterday saying it's about friends and about friendship, right?
And I'll be honest with you, I read the email this morning when I got up.
Okay.
And then I jumped in the shower. I got ready for church. I went to church. I went to lunch. I came home. I haven't even looked at the scriptures.
Okay. So here
so
we
that's
are.
That's how prepared I am for this.
Well, that's okay, because this is your point right now. And I'm going to put a big exclamation point behind your point here. And that is that the Holy Spirit within us, God Almighty, does communicate the mind of the Father, does communicate God's message that he wants us to get for any given moment. Here is what happened to me this week, Deb, and this happened Thursday morning early. My dogs get me up by 6:15 every morning, so we were in my office downstairs by 6:25 or so. And I just opened my Bible and I started to read about David and Solomon, and David turning over the reins of his kingdom to Solomon. And Solomon, his son, God said, "What do you want? I'll give it to you." And Solomon said, "Here's what I want. I want wisdom." And God said, "Because you've asked for wisdom and not riches, I'm going to give you wisdom, but I'm also going to give you riches and all these other things," right? Wisdom, power, and all those things. Mm-hmm. And I was just meditating on the fact that God wants us to be wise in our lives. He wants us to be wise in our friendships, in our relationships, in our relationship with him. God wants us to be wise, especially when we are married in a partnership, a friendship. God wants us to use wisdom, okay? Mm-hmm. And then I turned over in my Bible, so you can go there with me right now, Deb, and it's Proverbs 17:9. I did not look for this verse. I just flipped open my Bible after I was reading about Solomon, and my eyes landed on Proverbs 17:9. And I spoke about this morning at Beacon of Hope. But you wouldn't know that because you weren't there, Deb.
Oh, I wasn't.
But listen to this verse for Proverbs 17:9 in the Message Bible. And tell me if this doesn't fit right now. Overlook an offense and bond a friendship. Fasten on to a slight and goodbye friend. Now, I don't know what translation do you have in front of you?
I'm reading out of the New Living Translation.
New Living. Let's hear it in Proverbs 17:9 in the New Living.
Love prospers when a fault is forgiven.
Ooh.
But dwelling on it separates close friends. And that is so what we talked about in church this morning.
You got to be kidding. Now, you see how the Holy Spirit does this. We were talking to some of us at lunch, how you can be listening in the morning to say what Joel Osteen is saying or whatever. I don't get to do that. But if you did, invariably, people have come into church and after my sermon said, "Golly, Joel was talking about that subject," or "Joyce Myers was talking about that subject." Why? Because it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit within us, and he's trying to get across concepts to his children. So here's what God is saying. This is hot off the press, listening audience, and you know we do not pre-record these radio shows. This is live right now on June 27th, 2010, and here is what God is saying to you. And I want you to read it again in your translation, Deb. Read it again. Proverbs 17:9.
Love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends.
I love that. Overlook an offense and bond a friendship. Fasten
exactly.
on to a slight and goodbye friend. Now, let's talk about that verse and how it translates into our everyday lives, Deb. What do you see about this in your own individual life? And maybe it'll bring wisdom. There's the operative word here for this show today. Bring wisdom in how you deal with other people and how I deal with other people. Can you translate that for me into how you can live this verse?
Well, you know, I think one of the biggest things that we all get hung up on is the mistakes that we have made in the past.
Amen.
You know, once it's out of your mouth.
Yep.
Once you've taken that step.
Whoa.
You cannot turn back time. You can't go back and change it. And we
you can't
all,
rewind your mouth. You can't rewind, push rewind.
It would be nice if we could. You know, and one of the things that you know, Pastor said this morning is, you know, the past is the past and you can't change it.
Uh-huh.
And you know, he said this, and this is very true. God doesn't care about the mistakes you made in the past. You know, God cares about how you move forward.
Amen.
You know, and on the one hand, I think that God does care about the mistakes you make in the past, because one of the things that I have found out, and especially since we've moved back to Houston, you know, there's a scripture that talks about Jesus' own people not accepting him.
Exactly.
And that he had to leave his own area for his ministry to really take root.
Right.
You know, and since we've been back to Houston, I mean, I knew this before we left Houston and came to Florida, but since we've been back, you know, it's like I have these stumbling blocks. And I think one of the reasons that I have these stumbling blocks is because people know who I used to be.
Okay. Good point.
People know the things that I did in my past that weren't so pretty.
Lovely.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, I mean, you know, my name is Deborah, but growing up, I was called Debbie.
Yeah.
And when I meet people now, I tell them my name is Deborah, or call me Deb. Please don't call me Debbie, because Debbie is the person that I used to be.
Right.
And that person that I used to be is before I came to know Jesus.
Right.
Before I gave my life over to him and my life changed.
Okay.
So my point behind all this is that, and what this scripture is saying is, you know, you need to, if you've wronged someone, if you need to apologize.
Yes.
Say your I'm sorry and let it go.
And make amends. I mean, and be big enough to say I'm sorry, you know, and move on. You're right. Let it go and quit beating yourself up with it, right?
Right. Because, you know, and the other hardest thing that we have to accept is that, you know, once I tell you I'm sorry, will you please forgive me?
Right.
The ball's in your court.
Right.
You can either choose to forgive me and we can forget about it and move on. And sometimes it's hard to forget about it, but you
right.
still need to move on.
Right.
Or you can choose to dwell on it.
Exactly.
You know, and it's the times that, you know, our friends that we have or situations where they continue to choose to dwell on the old stuff, then you have to find a way to work around that.
Exactly.
And continue friendship.
And the devil wants us to focus on it, like this verse says, fasten on to a slight. You know, you just say, you know what, they hurt me, I'm never going to speak to them again, and I hate them, and rah, 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 rah. That's fastening on to a slight, you know?
Yeah, and you know, it's really funny how the devil does that, because when I had that little episode happen this week, I took the emails that I got personal.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I took it to heart.
Right.
And one of the things that Pastor Gary, God bless his heart, he's just a good old country boy.
Uh-huh.
One of the things that he said to me was, he emailed me and he said, you know what? He said, and this is what he said. He said, you pissed in the devil's Cheerios this morning.
Oh.
He didn't like the way it tasted. So
okay.
Now he's throwing it back to you, and you don't like the way it tastes either. But guess what? You don't have to taste that, because that's not yours to taste.
Okay.
They're hanging on to their issue.
Right.
You know, and I said my apologies to them and I moved forward.
Exactly.
And that's just it. The devil's going to look for something, that one little chink in your armor.
Right.
And he's going to keep throwing it back in your
face.
He's going to
do it. And he loves it when we get bitter, resentful, when we can't forgive, when we can't let go of an issue, when we can't just love and put it aside. The devil loves that. That is playing right into his hand. And we are going to talk more about this today on Living the Good Life. This is Practical Christian Living 101. That's what it is on Living the Good Life. And we're glad you've joined us today. And the sister radio stations now in Arkansas and Mississippi. We are so glad that you are receiving this radio show there. And those of you who listen to us directly from the web, tantalk1340.com, we're glad you've joined us this day. Listen to station ID.
This is 1340 WTAN Clearwater, 1350 WDC, 1350 WDCF Dade City, and KLRG Little Rock, Arkansas. My computer is not working. Back to you.
All right. Thanks for the, that's a live station identification that we just had from our engineer, Bill. That was, he was looking at me like, what do I do? He couldn't get the thing to work and come on. So that was great, Bill. You did a great job. All right. Connie is on the air with us, Pastor Deb, and say hi to Con.
Hey, Connie.
I was on earlier. I was just trying to wait it out because you had a good thing going there.
We did, didn't we? A good thing going. Yeah. You know, it's very interesting. Before we get into more of this kind of discussion, Connie, would you tell what's going on at Beacon of Hope right now? And Pastor Deb, I certainly wish you and Alice were here to be able to see what is happening. It is just so exciting. Connie, I'm going to let you give out the good news of what's going on at Beacon of Hope, Clearwater, Florida.
Oh, not much.
Don't even say that, girl.
We have a new place, brand new. We're renovating it because it just needed a couple of things. We needed to put an office in because we have the need for more counseling. And we need that space for that. And so we're painting all the, everything. I mean, the walls were just drywalled and not finished, so we painted and sprucing it up. We're going to put carpet down. We've got part of our stage there. We're just getting everything ready for our grand opening on August 1st.
Yeah, it's exciting.
And Canaan Band is going to come.
Right.
Hang out with us on August 1st, and then they're going to come back for our
9-year anniversary. 9 years in October.
9 years.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's
and go ahead.
Go ahead.
So yesterday we went to Pride, and we had a fantastic day at Pride.
Right.
And we're growing as a group of believers, a group of fellowshippers. We're growing together as well as growing and enriching our lives through our studies, and it's just wild.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Time. Yeah.
And we're building.
We've had this kind of enthusiasm and excitement for a while, and so it's good to have a new injection of it. You
it
know?
Is, isn't it? And we're building a kitchen, Deb, so the next time you guys come, we're going to have all, we have it all there right now. Our cabinets, our refrigerator, our stove, all the things that were in storage after the truck ran through our last building. We have all that stuff now in this new location, and wow, is it coming together. And I think you're going to love it.
Next time we come?
Say that again?
Does that mean I get to cook next time we come?
Yes, you know what you're going to be fixing? Chicken spaghetti, your favorite and our favorite. And actually, Connie, aren't we on August 1st having a family dinner right after that service? Service will start at 10 that day, and we'll have a family dinner. So
dinner.
It's going to be exciting, exciting, exciting. Connie, would you just share a moment about the fact that what our website has to offer and where people can access information about Beacon of Hope?
Our website has connections, links, they're called. Sorry.
Links.
To our webmaster if you have questions about our website. But important ones are, not that vaccine's not important, but pastor@beaconhopeministries.com to get in touch with you, send you a message.
Right.
Prayers@beaconhopeministries.com. They can access it there, but you can just go to your regular email and just type it in.
Right.
Too. But on our website, we have a link to our radio shows, and the show today, for example, will be up by tomorrow or Tuesday at the latest, usually.
Isn't that cool?
We have all of 2010's radio shows on the website now. I think we have a little bit of some of the previous ones.
We do. Mm-hmm.
But we do have every Sunday's show from 2010 because we have this new wonderful engineer, Bill.
That's right.
Is very attentive to our needs.
Right.
And he makes it happen.
Right. Exactly. It's exciting. And Deb, you and Alice have headed up, Alice in particular, the prayer ministry for, what, a year and a half or more now? It's more than that, more like 2 years. Can you tell the listening audience what that means to them and how they can access the prayer ministry and why they would want to?
The neat thing about our prayer ministry is, first and foremost, anybody, anywhere in the United States or the world can be a part of our prayer ministry. All they need to do is send an email to prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com and just say, put me on your list.
Right.
And what happens then is we put you on our prayer list, and anytime we get a prayer request in from anywhere, we automatically, as quick as we can get to it, we have about three or four people that are that receive the emails. We automatically get that prayer request out, and we actually put a prayer at the bottom of it. And I think that that has helped me so much.
Me too.
Because,
yeah,
you know, how many times has somebody said, you know, hey, will you pray for me? You know, my grandma's going to have surgery or whatever. And you go, yeah, I'll pray for you. And then you go about your day.
Right. Forget it or whatever. Yeah.
The neat thing about that is that it, there's a built-in prayer right there. You read that prayer. When you're reading that prayer, you are praying for that person or
Amen.
That situation right then and there. And it so helped me, because now as I'm going through my daily life, you know, if I say, yes, I'm going to pray for you, I immediately, even if it's just a short little thing, you know, Jesus, please help this person.
Right.
You know, I do it and it's done.
Exactly.
You know, and the response that we get on these is awesome.
It's
when
incredible.
Prayers are answered, we get the praise reports
yes.
back and we post those to everyone on the prayer team. And it's just a really awesome thing. And we get prayers from everywhere.
Exactly. Requests from around the globe. And so you listening out there right now, if you have a prayer need, if you have a job situation you need prayer for, if you have a physical problem, if you have an emotional issue, if you know somebody that needs prayer, just send us a quick email, prayers@beaconofhopeministries, that's IES on the end of it, .com. And you will absolutely have a big team of people praying for you right away. And we are excited about that and thank God for that. It causes us to be able to relax in God because we know he hears our requests. And if we know he hears us, this is what 1 John 5:14-15 says. If we know he hears us, then we know that we have the requests that we've asked from him. Listen to this song, and then I'm going to teach a few minutes and then join Deb and Connie again in a few minutes. Jackie Velasquez singing, I Will Rest in You.
Lord, I'm in the dark. Seems to me the light is dead when I come calling, knowing that the sky is falling. Lord, I need to know. My mind is playing games again. You're right where you have always been.
Constantly the eyes of God watch.
Praise God, I will rest in you. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, Clearwater, Florida. We're glad you've joined us today. Joshua chapter 1, go with me for a couple verses. I wasn't intending on teaching these couple verses, but I just felt them strongly as that song was playing. Moses had led the children of Israel around that mountain, you know, for a real long time, that same old mountain. He'd led them out of Egypt. And the time came when God said to Moses, it's time for you to come to heaven, and we're going to put somebody in your place. And that person was Joshua. And God's first words to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, about verse 5 or 6, he says to Joshua, all your life, no one is going to be able to hold out against you. In the same way I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I won't give up on you. I won't leave you. I find that very interesting, and that God's Holy Spirit just prompted me just now to look at this. This is for at least one person out there in our listening audience today. You know, God is no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter that you're not Moses or that you weren't born in Bible times. God says to Joshua that God's not going to leave him, just like he never left Moses. For somebody out there, you need to hear this. And God says, I'll be with you. I won't give up on you. You know, so often we feel like God Almighty gives up on us. You know, he gets mad at us. He just says, you know, enough already. I'm sick of you and all your whining and all your junk. You know, and this is for somebody out there today. Listen to this. God says, I won't give up on you. I won't leave you. Strength, courage. You're going to lead this people. You know, you have a job to do out there, you listening right now. You have a job to do. God wants you to lead some people. God wants you to help them find Jesus and find the friend that he is. You have a job to do. So on down in about verse 7 and 8 of Joshua chapter 1, listen to these words. It is God speaking to some people out there right now. Listen, don't get off track. Either left or right, so as to make sure you get to where you're going. You know, God wants you to get to where you're going. And I know you're going somewhere. And God wants you to realize you've got a job to do and you're going somewhere. Where are you going? You're getting closer to God. You're learning about him. You're learning that he's your friend and he sticks closer to you than any brother. He is the friend that sticks closer to you than a brother. And so he says here, don't for a minute let this book of the Revelation, that is this Bible, this word, be out of mind. Ponder and meditate on it day and night, making sure you practice everything written in it. Then you'll get where you're going. Then you'll succeed. Haven't I commanded you strength, courage? Don't be timid. Don't get discouraged. God, your God, is with you every step you take. This is for someone in our listening audience right now. This is fresh off the fresh off the plate here. Rhema word for someone. God is saying to you, he's with you every step. Now go back with me to John, and in just a moment, I'll bring our guests back on. But I want to make a point here about this friend, and that's what God says he is. He is the Spirit of Truth. And it says here in John 14, about verse 18, 17, he says that this friend will be staying with you and will be in you. And when we translate the word friend from the original Greek that it was written in, the word in Greek is parakletos, P-A-R-A-C-L-E-T-O-S. And it means seven things. These are the aspects of our friend, the Holy Spirit, that is going to live in us and is living in us. Number one, he's your comforter. Do you need comfort? I think so. He's your counselor. Oh, tell me, don't we all need counseling? He's your helper. He helps you when things get rough and you don't know what to do. He's your intercessor. That friend of yours prays for you. He is your advocate. He's your go-between to the Father. He's your strengthener, and he is your standby. I'm going to read those seven again if you want to write them down. This is what friend means in the original Greek. The word parakletos means comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. And I don't know about you, but I know we all need all of that. And Father God has sent His Holy Spirit to be our friend, somebody that is right there, sticks closer than a brother. And looking at verse 25, and then I'll bring the girls back in here. John 14:25. Jesus said, I'm telling you these things while I'm still living with you. The friend, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send at my request, will make everything plain to you. This is very interesting. The friend, the Holy Spirit, makes everything plain to you. He will remind you of all the things I have told you. So He makes things plain to you. He explains things to you. And He reminds you of things that God has already said to you. For whoever that rhema word was that I just read, God is reminding you of some things right now. He says, I'm leaving you well and whole. That's my parting gift to you. Peace. I don't leave you the way you're used to being left, feeling abandoned and bereft. So don't be upset and don't be distraught. In the New American Standard, it says, let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful, because the friend is hanging in there with you. Praise God. Connie, are you on? Deb, are you on?
I am.
All right. Are you both on?
I'm here.
Okay. All right. These are powerful words here about God Almighty living on the inside of us. I want to talk to you both a minute about the friendship of God in your individual lives. I'm going to give you both an opportunity to answer this question. Have you had a time in your life where you didn't understand that this friend was living on the inside of you? Number one, Connie, let's start with you. Have you had a time in your life where you didn't really get that concept?
Yeah, but I knew Jesus was there, so that was good enough.
Okay.
I knew Jesus was in my heart. He's been in my heart since I was like 8 years old.
Okay. All right.
So it's just a bonus to have the Holy Spirit. So.
Exactly. Exactly. And did you come to a point in your life where you realized that you needed to deepen the relationship between you and the friend, the Holy Spirit who lives in you?
Yeah. Yeah. Whenever you spend time in the Word and you spend time fellowshipping and you spend time in a church that's a Word-based church like Beacon is, you know, your desires grow, that you want more and more. And
right.
So the more you want, the more he's there, and he's willing. He's a gentleman, so he's willing to share. It's just how much you want. It's up to you.
Exactly. Right.
So I felt like I had always been somebody who was a workaholic, who several people that I dated in the past would say to me they couldn't compete with my other person in my life, and I was like, there's nobody else. And I'd say, who are you talking about? And they'd say, you know, your work.
Right.
And
right.
So that was a big awakening for me, and as I spent time at Beacon and I realized that, you know, work will end sometime.
Right.
You know, nothing is guaranteed on earth.
Right.
And we're going to be dead a whole lot longer than we're going to be alive.
Exactly,
so
yeah.
I need to get my priorities straight.
Yeah, right.
So that's pretty much how I just said, you know, you got to get your act together here. So.
Right, exactly. Okay, Deb, let's hear you on that whole concept there.
Well, you know, I mean, I grew up in church, but I did not grow up in a Bible teaching church. So every Sunday I would get these fluff sermons of, you know, make you feel good for the week.
Right.
And so, but I wasn't taught to read the Bible and I didn't understand the word. And I mean, I can say like Connie, you know, that I know Jesus was there, but I don't even know that I knew Jesus was there.
Right.
You know, I was doing what my parents did, and you know, I got this feeling late in life that something was missing.
Right.
And, you know, so I don't know if I was lucky or unlucky, but I got kind of all at once. You know, I found a Bible teaching church and I started to understand the word and how
right.
it fit into life. And then, you know, I got this relationship with Jesus, and then I got the Holy Ghost, and you know, it just, it was overpowering, but the sense of how I felt before and how I felt after, you know, I love Connie's analogy of, you know, the hole in the heart.
Right.
You know, it's what was missing was not missing anymore. And life Amen. Started to make sense.
Praise God. And that's because you got a hold of the concept that God wants to live in you and with you, not just something you know about and you hear about once a year around Christmas season. It is a daily relationship. I cannot emphasize that enough, listening audience. This friend, the Holy Spirit, God Almighty, wants to live in you and with you. He wants to take up residence in your life. He wants to be there so that you can say, oh, God, what do I do about this? Give me wisdom right now. He wants to be there so that when you're lonely, you go, God, comfort me right now. I'm lonely. I'm scared. Connie, and I know this is personal right now, but you lost one of your good friends a couple days ago, very unexpectedly, didn't you?
Yeah, it's funny because I was just thinking about her. We used to be very, very close. We worked together all the time, and so we saw each other all the time.
Right.
And, you know, and she was a Catholic person, you know, growing up.
Right.
And some things were kind of new to her, but through some business opportunities and things, we spent time together. And part of that business was personal growth, and we happened to have somebody in the leadership who was very much a Christian and very much interested in, you know, the music and the worship part. And actually, you know, God, so we went to the business meetings just for the worship. We couldn't wait till Sundays for the worship.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And what was really cool is that she was so into it, and, you know, and she was just from this, you know, she kind of held back before, you know? And then she got to the point where she was like, I mean, she would be, if she would have been in church today, she would have been hooping like, you know, like I usually do.
Right. And she was supposed to be with us today, wasn't she?
Yeah. Yeah. And, but we, you know, we had such great conversations. Now, we hadn't really talked a lot. We'd talk off and on periodically or email here or there or chat online, you know, once in a while. But she sent me a message on Facebook saying that she didn't have my number and she needed to talk to me because she wanted to ask me some questions. And it actually was 2 weeks ago today that I had talked to her.
Okay.
We talked for an hour, hour and a half, I think. And just different things. And she, you know, I could tell by talking to her that a lot of her anger, because she was getting sicker, but she wasn't, her response was anger, but I think it was more the fear part.
Right.
You know, and you know how fear makes somebody angry because you're afraid of what's coming.
Right.
She knew where she was going.
Amen. Amen.
And we used to talk about hanging out with Jesus, and we used to talk about, you know, all these. She would ask me these questions, but I'd say, you know, there's another one. You just gotta ask this. You got to make a list so that when you're there, so when we get there, whoever gets there first gets the answer.
Right.
You know?
And she beat you.
Yeah, dog.
Yeah. But, you know, Connie, that is so cool because you guys had this friendship. You reunited a couple weeks ago, began to really talk and share. And here she is 2 weeks later in the arms of Jesus for all eternity. And that is reality. And we need to face it that this is what our life is. We are only here for a brief time. And what we do for eternity is what counts and what lasts. And God says, we got to love each other. We got to love our friends. We've got to love our enemies. We've got to love like Jesus. Listen to this song by Casting Crowns. Don't go anywhere, you two.
The love of her life is drifting away. They're losing the fight for another day. The life that she's known is falling apart. A fatherless home, a child's broken heart. You're holding her hand, you're straining for words, you're trying to make sense of it all. She's desperate for hope, darkness clouding her view. She's looking to you. Just love her like Jesus, carry her to him. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. You don't need the answers to all of life's questions. Just know that he loves her. Stay by her side. Love her like Jesus. Love her like Jesus. Gifts lie in wait in a room painted blue. Little blessing from heaven would be there soon. Hope fades in the night, and blue skies turn to gray as a little one slips away.
Praise God. Love him like Jesus. Connie, I don't know if I've heard that song before, but I do love it. Carry her to him. Does that just fit right this moment for what we were talking about? And you already had it at that slot. You know, Deb and Connie, you know, so often I think we don't realize fully that people are in our lives for a reason, you know? I'm in the life of both of you for a reason. You guys are in my life for a reason. And so, like Linda that you just lost, and she's in heaven with Jesus, the fact that you spent time with her 2 weeks ago and renewed that acquaintance, that friendship, and deepened it and had those talks you did, and she was coming to church today, all of that was, there's a reason. And maybe it's to remind us once again that life is very short and temporary, and that we do run into people for a reason. They're in our lives for such a time as this. Deb, give me comments on all of that while I take a drink of water.
Well, I was thinking about a friendship that I had for, I don't know, I guess about 10 years, somebody that I met through work. And it was like we had known each other all our lives. But that friendship was a really cool friendship until I had a disaster in my life. And, you know, I knew at the moment that this horrible thing happened that I couldn't tell you that God put this person in my life, but I knew that this person had been put in my pathway for a reason at that point, because she was enough of an outsider to my entire life that she could be unbiased and just tell me, you know, look, this is why this happened, and this is what you need to do to make this not happen again.
Give you counsel, gave you wisdom, right?
Right, and she helped me. You know, I went through a very, very bad breakup of a relationship, and I mean, I was devastated.
Right.
Into a really deep depression, And, you know, she sat me down and she said, one of the first things she told me was, you know, you need to stay single until you figure out who you are.
Right.
You know, and she helped. She made me write this list of things that I wanted out of a relationship. And I mean, this list at the time that I wrote it was just so far out in left field that, you know, I was like, I'm never going to find this.
Right.
You know, but she kept telling me, no, if this is what you really want, you know, then it's going to happen. And she wasn't, you know, she was a believer, but she wasn't, you know, didn't go to church every Sunday, didn't read her Bible all the time, you know, but, and this was really before I really got to know God, but because of that relationship and because of that list that I made, that put me on my path to get to know God.
Right.
And to get that relationship with Jesus. And right as my life made such a positive turn about 3 years later, you know, that's when, you know, God brought Alice into my life. And I know that God brought Alice into my life. You know, it was like I had known Alice about 6 months, and then my friend just all of a sudden got so sick and she just died.
Wow.
She never had an opportunity to meet Alice and never had an opportunity to see that I had hit every single thing on that list.
Hmm.
You know?
Wow.
And
that's cool.
Listening to Connie, I thought about that. And the other thing that I was thinking about is, you know, I said that I wasn't brought up in a Bible-believing church and how my life has changed so much since then. You know, I had an opportunity about a month ago to sit down and talk with my dad and be real honest with my dad about how I felt about my church upbringing.
Right.
And how I felt it was lacking. And because of my relationship with God and because, you know, I know that God is behind me in everything that I do.
Amen.
And I pray that God put those words in my mouth. I could tell my dad how I felt and my dad could respond to me. And, you know, we came to an understanding and he admitted to me that, you know, where he had been laxed as we were growing up as a child in, you know, bringing the Bible to us and sitting us down and teaching us.
Right.
Because the church we grew up in, it was like the parents' job to give you your Bible instruction.
Right.
So, you know, because of that relationship, these things have happened in my life, you know, and Connie, I hear you talking about the list that you guys made of questions. Look at it this way. She's going to get those questions answered. When you get there, she's going to give you the answer to those questions. And then you can say, well, look, since you've been gone, these are the questions I have, you know?
She's so, going to say, ha, I got these answered.
Exactly. And the friendship that we're talking about right now, Deb, you're talking about somebody that took you under her wing, that listened to you, let you talk to her, let you pour out your heart. And that's what friends do, you know, that say, here, let me hear this. I've got time for you. Talk to me about what you're feeling. That's what it's all about. Now, we all admit that our lives are very busy and sometimes that can't happen at the spur of the moment. And there has to be a set time to sit down and talk. In fact, we do that at Beacon with counseling, don't we, Connie? Because times that we know we need to spend time getting to know somebody, we'll just set up a time and go in the office and a private conversation and talk and get to know them. And God wants to do that with us individually. He wants to get to know you. He wants you to pour out these longings, these things that you want in a friendship or a marriage or a partnership or whatever it is that you're looking for. God says, I want to hear you. Talk to me. Or maybe the times that you've been so disappointed and beat up, God wants you to talk about that. Connie, do you have a comment on that? On just listening to your friend, the Holy Spirit, and what that does and talking to God? Do you talk to him like that? Out loud, can you tell our listening audience about that? Maybe not out loud, but you talk to him.
Well, I do. The talk about myself, I do, because, you know, people want to know who you're talking to. When
right. Exactly. Right.
And, you know, I try to preserve that thought away from several people sometimes because they try to use it against you. You know?
Exactly, yeah, sure.
You know, it's interesting how God puts people in our lives and Linda came into my life in a time she was just out there, you know. She was Linda. And she, at that time in her life, was probably the peak of her life. She had She was professional. She was, you know, just graduated from additional training and was an ARNP and you know, and so she had it together.
Yeah.
And, you know, at a time in my life when I was, even though spiritually I was seeking, personally I had so many issues that, identity issues, self-esteem issues, you know, all those kinds of things. And when we had a tragedy at work, one of our good friends and co-managers was murdered.
Wow.
And going through all that, we all went through that together. And Linda was one of the ones. I had two special friends, Christy and then Linda, who sat me down and said, you can't keep living your life two ways.
Yeah.
Not actually, personally.
Yeah.
It was a personal thing. I had a professional life and I had a personal life.
Right.
And those two I kept apart. And, you know, she was the one who said, you got to be who you are.
Right. Yeah.
Because if you don't like it, how are you going to find somebody that does?
Right. Right.
You know, and that was, and she, I mean, she was just pretty gruff kind of person. She just told it like it was, you know. She never sugarcoated anything. And, you know, and that was something that we shared because we could tell each other anything. And it didn't have to be, you know, if something made us mad at each other, about each other, or something made us mad that we had to come and tell each other about, you know, and share and try to work through. We didn't have to, you know, be politically correct and all, you know, all that kind of stuff.
You just be yourselves. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, and that is probably the biggest thing in my life that I can say that, you know, if you, I think you take something out of a friendship always, no matter what kind of a friendship it is, no matter what kind of relationship it is, there's something in it for you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in that relationship.
Exactly. And what I hear, go ahead.
And that's what I got from her is, you know what? You are who you are.
Right.
God made you. We already had that conversation.
Right.
So God made us who we are, you know, and so she helped me. Probably, really, she helped me more tie spiritually into me personally, you know, and so all those lives, that work life, that personal life, my spiritual life, probably that's when those tapestries started weaving together.
Wow.
Then it wasn't that long after that, I don't think, that it was a little while, but it wasn't that long. I was on that path, and then that's when I got to Beacon.
Right. So she was instrumental in getting you into the place where you are now. What I hear from that story is you were able to be honest, both of you, with each other. There was openness. There was vulnerability. And I present to the two of you that is not just what an ideal friendship should be like, that honesty, that openness. You should be a safe place for a friend. But God Almighty, through His Holy Spirit, is that friend in us. And we can be that honest and can be that open. Deb, I want you to talk about that. Maybe you can relate to this. I'm sure you can. But also how God is all of that to you and to all of us. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, Connie, I do talk to God out loud, and I do it at work, and they make comments all the time, and it's kind of funny.
Yeah,
my favorite one-on-one time with God is Monday through Friday on my drive to work and on my drive home from work. And I will just talk about what I think is going to happen for the day, what I need for the day, what's going on in my life. And it, you know, I'm never ceased to amazed how a song will come on the radio that it just right there, it just ministers to whatever I'm talking about.
Amen.
You know? And I mean, I'll be at work and I'll be frustrated with something. And, you know, I'll say, I'll say it out loud. Okay, God, help me do this. And my boss will be down in the hall snickering at me. I'm very blessed to work for a bunch of Christian guys.
Cool.
So, you know, I mean, he'll snicker and he'll say, yeah, be careful what you ask for, you know. And then a few minutes later, I'll have this duh moment like, okay, here it is, you know.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, that's just kind of the way I handle that.
Right.
You know? And, but it's just, I just know that I can say anything I want to God.
Amen. That's a great point right there. Make it again.
And you know.
Wait a minute. I got to ring the bell on that, Deb. Okay. Say that. Say that again, Deb. People need to hear this.
You can say anything you want to God. I mean, that's the coolest friendship in the world.
Amen.
You know? I mean, taking the expletives out of it, you know, my best friend, she's always, you know, and she'll just look at me sometimes and go, what the, you know?
Yeah.
And just kind of like, people think that it is sacrilegious to say how you feel to God.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you're ticked off, you need to tell God. He knows already. Okay.
In other words, he expects honesty, right? Right. Honesty is the best policy.
You know, it's like, why beat around the bush?
Anyway.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I mean, why beat around the bush? If you're ticked off, you say, you know what, God, this sucks.
Right.
You know, I don't like this. I'm ticked off.
And how does he respond, Deb? How does he respond when you get that honest with God and talk to him?
I have found out that when you are honest with God, you get answers a heck of a lot faster. Because if you're not honest with God, he's going to put you right back in that same situation for you to either learn a lesson, okay?
Right.
Or for you to get so angry. For me, this is how it works, that I say, okay, God, what's the deal?
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, what am I supposed to be learning here? Yes.
Right. You know, and that was kind of a point that I was thinking about earlier when, you know, we were talking about the past is the past.
Right.
You know? Yeah, the past is the past and you can't change it. But where God is concerned, sometimes he reminds you of the past.
Yes, he does.
You didn't learn the lesson that you needed to learn.
How many years did the children of Israel walk around the same mountain? 40.
40.
And had they just followed God and trusted God, that path from Egypt to the promised land was a 13-day journey. Instead, they went around the same mountain 40 years. Why? They kept making the same mistakes. And I'll tell you, here's the good thing. Connie, you are our music director for the radio show, and you always let God just lead you. And, of course, we don't plan what we're going to talk about, so we don't know that we're going to end up and need a segue into the next song. And you have on here, as the Holy Spirit leads you, Connie, this is God giving you direction for what we're doing. This song coming up is Arms of Love. So your best friend, the super friend, God Almighty, who lives on the inside of you, has arms of love. Listen to Amy Grant right now. Don't go anywhere, Deb and Con.
Lord, I'm really glad you're here. I hope you feel the same when you see all my fear and how I fail. I fall sometimes. It's hard to walk in shifting sand. I miss the rock and find I've nowhere left to stand. I start to cry. My hands so just how many storms it takes until I finally know you're here always, even when my skies are far from gray. I can't stay.
Us warm in his arms of love. Praise God. There's safety in his arms. Praise God.
Hanging out with him.
Woo, isn't that cool? Oh, we're talking about the friendship of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that Jesus said that when he went to heaven, he was going to send the friend, the comforter, the counselor, who'd be with us every day, all the time, 24/7, 365 a year. That's God, his ministry of his Holy Spirit in our lives. There's safety in his arms. You know, there's times that people can disappoint us, and maybe they become less than safe. Maybe you're bearing your heart to them and you're telling them how you feel about something, then they just whack you over the head with that knowledge, or they just beat you up with it. And God says, I'll never do that to you. God says, I am a safe place. I'm your friend. He's the absolute meaning of true friend. That's who he is. He wants to be there for us. Connie, I'm going to ask you for some final thoughts real quick. I know you got to run into the hospital. Start your shift. Just give us a minute or two, and then Deb and I will finish the show.
Okay. Are you asking me a question?
Well, do you have a final thought or anything, or a point you want to make?
I think I've made pretty much all.
Okay.
You know, God wants a relationship with us. And,
okay.
You know, you brought up the hole in the heart thing. And
yes.
That there's a part that only he can take care of. And he purposely did that for all of humanity so that we would want a relationship with him.
Amen.
You know, he's a gentleman and he's not going to force himself on us. And so when it's time and we need that relationship, he's just there waiting.
He's waiting.
Hanging out, you know?
A true friend to hang out with, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Connie, you are a wonderful friend to me and to so many of us at Beacon of Hope, and I just pray blessings in your life right now, and that you have a good shift tonight at the hospital, and just know how much we appreciate you and love you, and talk to you later, my friend.
Love you, Con.
Yeah.
Love you, too.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Deb, that song, was that just fitting or what? Arms of Love. God's love, and that's the kind of friend he is.
Very fitting, and you know the ending of being warm.
Yes,
of God, you know, it's that warm, fuzzy feeling.
Yes,
and it's just an awesome feeling.
Absolutely, he just wants to wrap us in his arms, and you know we could go on this topic for quite a while, but I really think that to have a good friend, you got to be a friend, right?
Yes.
And one thing that some of us may need to work on is how we approach our friendships. Are we users, or do we just use people for what we can get out of them? Or are we a true friend? Do we listen? These are things I heard today on the broadcast, Deb, and then you can give me your thoughts on this. Do we really have that kind of deep, unconditional love? Or do we expect people to meet up to our expectations? And we really didn't even get into that whole discussion. We could do that. Do people, can they really trust us? Can they relax in our presence? Or do they have to be on guard that we're picking them apart in every way? Is it a safe place, this friendship? Do you know what I'm talking about, Deb?
Yeah, I do. And I was sitting here thinking that before I really came to know, you know, God's word and have Jesus in my life, I was thinking about the kind of friend I was before and the kind of friend I am now.
Okay, good point.
And it's totally different.
Right.
you know, I mean, you know, I'm from Texas. I can tell the long stories, and I can talk to a brick wall, and it'll listen.
I've noticed that it will listen, yes. Go ahead.
And, but, you know, before, I was like that all the time, and I wasn't a good listener.
Okay, good point.
I had to be large and in charge.
Right, okay.
And I still have that large and in charge issue, but God keeps it in check.
Okay.
But now I sit and listen because, you know, I want to know who you are.
Right.
I want to know what makes you, you.
Right.
So that I can be there for you because, you know, Jesus, you know, Jesus wanted us to know one thing, and that was that he loved us as much as the Father loved him.
Amen.
He wanted us to love each other the way he loved us.
Exactly.
And that's one of my many mottos that I have, you know, if I expect someone to like me and love me and be there for me, then I have to do the same for them.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Without judgment and criticism. I mean, be the safe place. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Exactly. And, you know, and in turn, I try to do that in all my relationships now.
Right.
I hope I do a good job. But, you know, like I said, I was nudged by God, especially this morning, that there's a relationship that I haven't done that in and that I need to try and make some repairs in that relationship.
Okay. And when,
you know?
And when God's Holy Spirit, he's your friend living on the inside of you, when he says, you know, you need to call so-and-so, you need to work on that relationship, then that's him knowing that that friendship is valuable and you need to do something about that. You know, I think that's great. That's how he
exactly.
counsels us, you
well,
know?
You know, and I had opportunity this week, my pastor called, and I'm kind of like in charge of the ushers and everything at church. And,
right.
Well, I was the only usher for a while. But he informed me that somebody else had volunteered to usher. And I like this person. I don't have a problem with this person. But I kind of got the sense that this person had an issue with me.
Okay.
So I brought it up to Pastor. And I'm like, you need to be aware of this, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what's going on. And he and I had a long talk about that. And a funny thing is while we were on the radio, he called and left a message that wanted to know how things went today because it was the first day for this person to usher. And, you know, I just kind of took the stance this morning because I need to sit down and talk to this person. And, you know, Sunday morning at church when we're trying to get things going is not the time to do it.
Right.
So I just kind of took the stance this morning that, you know, I'm going to show you my unconditional love and support. And I'm going to, you know, just the past is the past. And this was long before the sermon.
Right.
You know, the past is the past. And I don't know what happened, but, you know, this is who I am today. And things went very, very smoothly this morning. I did not get the sense that there was an issue.
Praise God. All right.
And after we took up the offering, we were sitting there counting the offering, and I got flustered, and I couldn't get the numbers right, so I pushed it over to let her do it. And we went to lunch afterwards, and when we were leaving from lunch, I walked over to her, and I patted her on the shoulder, and I said, thank you so much for being there for me today and helping me with that because I just got so flustered.
Yeah.
You know? And
building bridges. Yeah. Yeah. Did we just lose you?
No, yep. I'm here.
Okay. We're about ready to give me 30 seconds more, Deb, and wrap it up there for us so I can finish the show here. So,
you know, the most important thing is that, you know, what we said earlier, you work really hard to cultivate your friendships here, you know, with your human friends, your friends on earth,
right.
And you go out of your way to make sure that they're happy and with you and you're making them happy. You need to give God that same
amen.
That same amount of effort.
Amen. Spend time with him, and it will be so rewarding. It will bless you so much. Deb, thank you so much. God bless you and Alice and the ministry in Houston. God bless you. We'll talk later. Thank you so much for being on the show again today. You are a blessing.
We love you. We miss you guys.
Miss you, too. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
For all of you that have joined us today on Living the Good Life, we've been talking about friendships, the importance of human friendships, but also especially the importance of cultivating the relationship between you and your Heavenly Father. And it's the Holy Spirit, the aspect of the Father who lives in you. And he says, I am your friend. And he wants to teach you. He wants to comfort you, counsel you, be there for you, never leave you. He wants to strengthen you. He's your standby, your helper. He never lets go of you. You need to learn to cultivate that relationship. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, we invite you to our services at Beacon of Hope. You are welcome. Sunday morning at 11, Wednesday night at 7. Of course, this radio show every week, live at 4 o'clock. We're starting right now. We were at 4:30. We're at 4 on this radio station live. We're glad you've joined us today. We encourage you, if you are not in the Tampa Bay area, find a place of worship that you can receive God's word and get prayer for your needs and become a part of what God wants you to do. Do you have to go to church to get to heaven? No. But should you? Yes. Why? Because you need to learn God's word and you need the friendship of other believers like you. We hope you've enjoyed this time. If you're a business and want to do a commercial on the show, contact me at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. If you have a prayer need, contact our prayer line, prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. We encourage every listener, go to our website and learn about Beacon of Hope, beaconofhopeministries.com. It's been a joy to be with you today. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, as usual, right here in this seat, on this microphone, because I love to be here. God bless you. Have a great week. It's not far to Jesus.
Loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and He will lead you safely to His side. There's no